Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBIFM.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBIGore.com or call 800-992-9447.
Welcome to Dream Catchers on the Brain Injury Radio Network with your host, Les Paul Morgan.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing tonight? And tonight we're going to talk about the brutality of traumatic brain injury. And let me tell you, it can be brutal. Sometimes you'll see the smiling faces of people, and you'll see the happiness of someone with a big smile on their face. But underneath, sometimes there's a lot of hurt where they've been through tragedies. And I just want to stop right there for a second because my screen just went blank all of a sudden. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a power failure or what. And if you can hear me, I apologize for that. So I'm going to hold on for a minute and see what just happened. Oh, wow, this has never happened before. I hear no sound, no nothing. Oh, boy, that's bad. Oh, man, it's not opening up either. What happened? If anyone can hear me right now, I'm having technical difficulty. I don't know what just happened. Never had this particular one happen before. Said that a lot. Let me see what I can do here. See if this brings it up. Don't know why I just did that. Okay, studio. I'm going into the studio. I'll try that once more. I don't know what happened there. Okay, everyone. This is Les Paul Morgan. We had a technical difficulty happen in the beginning of the show, and it really put a delay on. I'm looking to see if people come on because it shows I'm the only user right now, but something crashed it right as it started. I don't know if there was a power failure or what because my computer blinked, and I'm not sure what did that, but it shows I'm online and on the phone. All right, I see Kim in a flash. How are you doing, Kim? If you can hear me, let me know because something happened. The computer, I think my computer actually lost power. I had a blink in the power that cut my computer off. Can you hear me, Kim? Well, you never know what's going to happen with a traumatic brain injury. I didn't expect this. I had several things I wanted to talk about. But, don't know why it's in, Kim, can you hear me? Well, what has happened? I hear nothing. Let's see if it's... Never had this happen before. I wonder what happened.
Hi, Les Paul.
Oh, hi, Kim.
I can hear you.
I had a major crash. I mean, my computer cut off right when the show began. I think there was a little flick in the power outside or something, and because I saw it was barely noticeable of a little flash. And I came in a flash. That's perfect for you.
Yeah, I showed up just in time, I see. If you're going to be a flash.
I almost broke out in a sweat because I said, oh, my goodness, what just happened? And I had it ready. I had it on probably 7, 8, or 9 minutes before time for the show, and then that happened.
Oh.
And it wiped everything I had on the screen off, and so I had to come back in. I mean, I had nothing. The screen went black. That's the first time I've had that.
Well, it was like a minute tell, and usually by my clock when it says a minute tell, you're already on air, and I didn't see you on air.
Okay.
Maybe I did it. I opened there was no chat room opened.
Mm-hmm.
I snuck in and opened the chat room, and then I logged out.
I doubt it was you. I'm not going to blame it on you. If anything, it was something silly I did. I have no idea. Hey, I'll just say that's traumatic brain injury. It happens.
Yeah.
Both happens.
Yeah, it happens. Well, everything's fine now. I heard you talking, and I just wanted you to know. Hi, Mr. Muffin. I just wanted you to know we could hear you, so everything's okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize it would make me get hot in the face. I felt like, oh, man. I really had a big crash. I don't hear anything or see anything. I mean, the chat room, everything was gone. Lord have mercy, what just happened?
Oh, no. Well, this has just been such an adventure. Just when we're starting to get to know things and they have problems, then they wind up changing all of it again.
I know what you mean. Sometimes I just am going, Houston, we have a problem. This is Mission Control. How can you rescue us? Help. We're halfway to the moon and we have no fuel. We have no way back. Help. But we've got our own Mission Control at Brain Injury Radio, right? That's what. And friends that will come on and type and bring the fear out of me. I feel a lot better now. But it also wiped what I was fixing to talk about. I need to bring it back up.
The program page?
I had a Word document on the side also that said something
about some of my things
I was going to talk about, and it's gone. I mean, that one little second, I lost a lot of things. And I was going to talk about how brutal brain injury is. I mean, it is a tough thing. I know we sound happy and fun and loving and all this stuff, and sometimes we sound mad, but when you meet somebody that's mad and angry and upset, it might be because they really had a bad fall or a bad ride or a bad road to recovery if they have had recovery. And I was going to talk about that tonight.
I think that's a good idea. I think one of the more brutal things when you were describing that is how frustrating it is. I'm not saying my guest tomorrow, interestingly, has been through what so many of us have been through, and that's hell, and then turned loose without an instruction manual.
That's a great follow-up to tonight, then.
yes, because that's exactly when I saw your title on there. I thought, one of the most horrendous things about it, the event itself is bad enough, but then for the survivors who have just gotten their bell rung, our brains are kind of scrambled there for a year or two, nobody gave us instructions or told us what to expect. And that's even,
I was wondering what instructions were.
Mm-hmm.
What are instructions? Please, somebody describe. I do not know.
Well, it's a very vulnerable time to turn people loose without any instructions.
That's for sure. And that's where meeting the right person can help you tremendously. Or meeting the wrong person can leave a bad taste in your mouth for a long, 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 long time. And so I'm hoping that we can fix some of the things that we see people saying, and I hope we document all the things that we do as we go through the years and months with Brain Injury Radio, because I know Craig has got the system set up where it saves all the shows and all of the things so that we can use it as a manual of a sort. And I think about that as we go, because when someone new with a new brain injury or someone young, like I just found out the other day that a person I know has a baby that had a very severe fall and hit his head on something real hard, and the baby is not speaking, hasn't recovered well, and a lot of people are asking for this baby, I think it's a baby girl, for us to ask prayers for it, because they said they're not even sure if the baby's going to make it. And it made me think, wow, a poor innocent baby had that bad of a brain injury? That's sad.
Yes, it is.
I mean, at least you and I, we can say we went a certain amount of years without having it happen. But I know people that were 15 years old when they had theirs that are different than people that had them when they're 22 or 25 or 30. It seems, or someone 10. It seems to have a different effect on people because of the level of life they got to live before it happened, I guess is a way to phrase it. And that's one part that has always made me feel bad for some of the people I know that have gone through things like that. And that's what I love about Brain Injury Radio. We're here to give that positive light and positive hope for people that don't know what to do, like you didn't, Kim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No clue.
Your story is enough to make someone's hair stand up. When I see the pictures, when I first saw the pictures of you, it brought tears to my eyes. I said, my goodness, look what happened to Kim. And I know this woman. Wow. It shows that you had some extra stuff in you, the right stuff, to be able to make it through that. And I'm honored to speak to you, knowing that that was you I saw in those pictures.
Oh, well, thanks. It was grace. It wasn't me. I mean, I kept trying, but like a lot of people in the same situation, you know, you just don't know if you're up for it.
That
and,
is for sure.
I think it's a strictly grace and a power greater than myself that gave me that whatever, you know, perseverance, whatever it was, to just keep going.
I agree with you very much. I don't know any other reason for some of us still being here that something greater than us said, okay, it's time to stay. You have a purpose in life because it happened, not because it didn't. And I've had people say, don't you talk that way. I don't like that. And that's how I personally feel.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, maybe there was a reason to be dragged through life, and it's almost like being tied to the back of a vehicle and dragged and pulled. I don't like to bring that kind of analogy up because people are literally done that way, but that's how our brain injury has been. It's like we've been pulled through the gutters and dragged through, and a lot of agencies and organizations haven't known how to help us. And one thing I was thinking about today is social media has dramatically changed that, where everybody can say something everywhere all the time. And so now we have voices, and sometimes they're right on the money, and they know exactly where to go. But especially when you're a newbie, like I was a long time ago, and you and all of us were in the beginning, we didn't know who to turn to, and we weren't getting the help and assistance we thought we needed. In fact, I didn't know what help or assistance was when I came out of it, and I didn't know anything about a brain injury association or brain injury alliances or anything. I didn't know anything about anything. My mother became my caregiver after I came home. They pretty much gave up on me and sent me home and said, Mrs. Morgan, you just deal with him the best you can. And she didn't have any caregivers or anything. My mother did it all, and my brothers helped too. But the brutality of brain injury, ugh. When I think back all those years that I feel like I wasted, maybe I didn't waste them when I think about it. It was a long learning curve, but this program, Craig, Cecilia, all the people involved, the Brain Injury Associations, I know some people have disagreed with the Brain Injury Associations and different things. I see good things in all of them. I see bad things in some things. I think this is the perfect place to work it out and work it together, because I was talking to a lady that works for the National Council on Independent Living the other day, and she was talking about Justin Dart. She said, Les Paul, I actually got to meet him and work with him for a while. And I said, really? The father of independent living? Wow, that's awesome. Because, you know, Craig talks about he'd tell him to get up off his pity pot. You remember
Right.
Craig saying that?
Yeah, well, yeah.
She said she got to meet him in some of his last days, and she was nervous because she knew how great of a person he was, she felt. And so she talked to me and said, "Les Paul, he talked to me for 30 minutes a couple of different days not long before he passed." And she said he was so inspiring, but he thought peace and building relationships and building associations of different things and associating people together and bridging that gap were the best way. And so another thing about Justin Dart is he was an awesome man that he was a forerunner to all of us. Without him, none of this would have been possible. And our dear friend Craig was one of his, you know, one of his friends. He got to know him and meet him. And I just feel honored to know some of the people I've met. And I know the brutality, and I wrote it in red, if you noticed, on there. I don't know if it showed up in red or not, but I'm looking at it on my screen, red. Is it red on yours? Yeah, it is. It says dream catchers in blue and brutality of TB. I put that at almost like blood, the blood of brain injury. And when I was trying to think of the show, I just kept thinking, what do I want to title tonight's show? And then I got on the phone with another person that was telling me my brain injury was so severe and no one would help me, and I felt so alone and isolated as they put me in handcuffs and put me in jail. And the person didn't even know what they had done that I had spoken with. And so as they came out of it, they found out the person didn't even do what they said but wasn't able to defend themselves. And so that's one of the things that got me thinking, okay, the brutality of brain injury. Because, I mean, it can be a car crash where you slam head-on into somebody. I don't know if you saw the football players I have in the X-ray going head-to-head. I mean, it can be someone out on the Super Bowl slamming their head together and permanently injuring their brain. Or it can be, in our case, you and I both have an aneurysm. It's not the same as a car crash, but it's like an explosion inside of your head. And I'm sure each one is different. But with me, I mean, it's like my life was ending as it happened. But I also see beauty in brain injury survivors. There's a lot of people. Craig was talking last night, for instance. He was saying he sees a lot of genius in people with brain injury and inventiveness. And I see that in you with your photographs and all of the things that I've seen that you've posted. I just love looking at your dogs sometimes when I look at Facebook or something.
God, I post them enough. spring when there's some flowers out.
I can't help but laugh when I see your dogs. And I've seen you in some of your costumes that you've done, and I've seen videos. I hope it's all right for me to mention this. You in your outfit. What is your outfit? You can say it.
My elephant costume.
Yes.
Pink elephant costume. I want to do Super Freak by Rick James.
That would be great. That would be great. The first time I saw that, I said, oh, my goodness, that's so funny. That's got me cracking up. I laughed for about 10 minutes after that was over. I hope that I get to meet you in person in the near future sometimes. I think you're a very cool lady. I think everybody on here that I've met is. And I just wanted to share also, last night we had our local brain injury support group, and it's supported by the Brain Injury Association of South Carolina. And we're actually going to get a stipend that gives money to the support groups to spend on how they see on the support group, a way to help, if it's printing flyers or buying some food or something to have or whatever you see fit to use, as long as it's for the support group, and to help advocate, maybe print out special brochures, maybe make T-shirts. And I just thought that was pretty amazing. I was just told that yesterday, that we're going to get that from the Brain Injury Association of South Carolina. And I'd like to see some more people do that from state to state, because it really helps. They wanted to give back to the support groups is what they decided. And
oh, good.
And so
about
I hope
time.
I know. I hope that happens for some more support groups, so that, you know, because the survivors are just so powerful. if there was just a bunch of professionals at a big meeting, and all they did was talk about professional things and all about whatever, it wouldn't amount to much. But when there's a survivor there testifying about their story, about how they recovered or how they went through so much tragedy to triumph in the end or to struggle to get to where they are, it's worth it. It makes the big difference. And that's one of the things I see that we need to do more, whether it's Brain Injury Radio and Brain Injury Associations working together hand in hand. I think there's room for a massive amount of growth, but I know that they were saying last night there's a lot of different issues going on, and I hope we'll all talk to Susan Connors about them when we have her on, when Matt has them on his show. What day is it?
Well, Matt, it'd be Sunday. So.
Okay. Yeah, he's got Susan Connors, the president of the Brain Injury Association of America, so she ought to have a lot to say. And I've met her a couple of times in person. She actually came to our Brain Injury Association in South Carolina, and we hold an annual conference there. And I forget if it's 2 or 3 days. I think it's 2 days. It is 2 days. And it was just beautiful. We had several speakers talking on different things, concussion. We had behavioral specialists there speaking, showing different things that you can do to help recover. And there were support group meetups. We had all kinds of different things going on. I couldn't possibly do it. If you look up on the Brain Injury Association of South Carolina's website, it's probably still on there, that if you want to look at that sometime as an example. But, and I want to see one come to your area. Didn't you say yours is the biggest city in the state?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a shame there's not one there.
Our city is bigger than the rest of the state.
Wow. Well, I see some other guests on here. I just want to see if they would like to talk or anything.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, well, it's nice talking to you, Kim.
Yeah, you too. I'll just kind of hang back, mute, don't mute, whatever. I'll be quiet. I just wanted you to know
earlier,
we could hear you.
thank you very much. Well, the number is, and I always have the hardest time saying this. I start to say the wrong one, but I'll get it right this time. The guest call-in number is 424-243-9540. If you'd like to call in, I'd like to talk with you, and you could talk with anyone else either. Two, if you would like to. This show is on for an hour and a half tonight live, and it'll go on, if we choose to, another hour as long as you're online. And, I mean, I'm so honored just to be here. I say that a lot. I don't mean it to just say it. I mean it because I really do feel honored to be able to have a spot as a host on this. I think we all have
a special
meaning, special reason for being here. And I want to see this grow so big that they can no longer ignore us. All those years that we both waited, if you combine both of our years, I'm not saying our ages, let's talk.
Yes, please.
But if you combine them, they would make up very much a life sometimes. And I don't want to see lives go to the wayside, live and die without finding recovery. Once again, I'm using your theme, Lorna. You know, recovery now, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
Recovery is a step you have to take every single day, every single second. And it took me many years to be able to sit here and be able to say that I would accept doing something like this. I would have been terrified of this because I wasn't to the level of recovery where I could do it. And so many people had beaten me down and said that it was impossible, that they would just forever, and I mean forever, look at me as if I didn't exist. And we need to be viewed as people first. You know, people first is an agency. It's also a slogan that I use often for what we are. We're not a brain injury. We're not a disability, whatever your disability. You're a person before you're a disability. And I like to be addressed as a person. I don't want to be thought of as, hey, brain aneurysm. Hey, brain injury. How are you doing, Mr. Brain Injury? I talk about it a lot. I talk about brain injury and aneurysms and all the things I've been through a lot. But I'd be like to known as Les Paul Morgan, you know?
Yes.
And I see we do have a caller in right now, and I don't see it showing. Strangely, it's not showing any numbers. No, it's not showing one number.
I'll try it.
It's showing my number, but this one starts with THEMN. I'm just going to bring you on if you'd like to speak and let me know.
Oh, that could be Ron. That could be Ron, maybe.
Hello?
Hello?
Is this
Ron? Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Okay, no, all I did is Skype in.
Oh, okay. I didn't see a phone number or anything. I forgot about Skype, how it does that. If you don't want to talk, I'll turn it back off. Would you like to?
No, that's fine, but let me ask you one question.
Okay.
Does this Skype cost me anything?
No.
It shouldn't.
All right, no, I've never used it before except the past couple of nights, so it's new to me.
When you go Skype to Skype, it does not cost you.
Okay.
You Skyped into the show, so you went Skype to Skype. But if you wanted to call your nephew in a state across the country and you dialed long distance to their telephone, it might cost you, but not a lot. But no, this is Skype to Skype is free.
Oh, okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do have a Skype account. I'm glad you said that because some people might not know that. So if you're on Skype, you can call in, and it won't cost you anything.
Right.
That's
how our people from England call in.
That's right.
Their Skype, so they can do Skype to Skype free.
Cool. Okay, you can mute me for a while.
Okay.
I'm going to make a noise sitting here.
All right, well, it's nice talking to you.
Ron. Good to hear you.
Okay. Let me see. We have several people on, but I don't see any hands raised or anything. If anybody has anything, let me know. It really threw me off target when it acted up in the very beginning. Sorry about that. When you get something to happen that severe, all of a sudden when you're starting your show, it'll throw me off track in a skinny second.
I know. Me too.
As Craig says sometimes, man, I had the greatest thing I was fixing to say. Man, it was awesome. If I only knew what it was. If you could only tell me.
I know. It's one of those shiny things that happens that gets your attention. Got your focus all ready to go, and then something shiny happens. In this case, it's the studio screw up. God, I hate it when that happens.
And I don't know if something did happen to the power or what. I thought I saw a little flash, but nothing turned off in my house or anything.
Yeah, but if you lost your Word document and everything, that does sound like kind of a power.
It must have been.
Shortage.
I mean, it was so sudden that if I blinked my eyes, I would have barely noticed it. So I'll just have to say whatever happened, happened, and move on. I see we have people talking and chatting back and forth a bit.
That's me and Matt. We're talking about the weather, the cold weather. You know, a lot of us, Matt wasn't saying this. I thought Matt said he was in Vegas, but he was just pulling my leg. He said if the weather kept being cold, he was going to go down to Vegas and meet Deborah and the gang that are down there. And I know that for a lot of us, I see a lot of this written on the board, and I don't think you have to worry about it. Your weather's a little bit nicer there, but there's a lot of people that have post-surgical pain or chronic pain conditions after they have a brain injury in winter.
Yeah.
When it's too hot, too cold, or the pressure, barometric pressure changes, the problem just seems to be a lot worse. In your case, when the pressure changes, maybe you get more of the headaches and things.
I'm wondering if that's what's been going on with me, because earlier today, if I had to start the show, I probably would have had to call for help because I could barely function today. And I said I had a bad migraine yesterday and the day before. Even on my job today, I had to say to my supervisor, I said, Cindy, I don't know if I can keep on going, but I did. I went and got some coffee and sipped on that, and I didn't like that. And nothing seemed to make me feel good. And when I went home, I just rested for a while, and my energy started coming back before the show. I was saying, oh, boy, I hope I'll be able to make it all the way through. It's really hit me hard over the past several days. Do you have days like that when it just one after another gets you?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit, especially at this time of year. Or the inverse, when it's, you know, we get heat and humidity here where the, well, you probably get some humidity being by the end of the country. But
we have a lot of humidity.
Well, when it gets really hot here, you know, like in the 90s and that humidity happens, I feel almost as poorly as I do when it gets below freezing and cold and windy. So it's tough. And then when the pressure changes, you know, and that could be what's happening if there's some kind of a storm front or something that's making the pressure change in your area, that usually gets me.
That makes me think I need a barometer to check the barometric pressure outside.
Well, you already have one, actually. It's built in now.
I didn't think about that. But I tell you what, and that's one of the things I was thinking about, the brutality of it, too. I used to have headaches before when I was younger, before I had the brain injury and everything. But, man, it was like ice cream and candy compared to some of the ones I can have now. I don't know exactly how yours are, but sometimes they are so severe I can't even describe them. And then other times they're mild ones. So it's just a full gamut of them. But one thing I like to bring up is this is a total switch in a different direction. Brain injury survivors make some awesome workers. I think everybody needs to hire a brain injury survivor and not give them a job that's the wrong kind of job, like a place did for me one time when I went to training and they tried to prove me wrong that I wouldn't be able to work. I've told about that before. And they definitely set it up because they had me doing very forceful labor kinds of job, a very forceful labor kind of job on a machine that crimps pipes, onto a pipe. And I said, you think this is the right thing for a brain injury survivor? Can I tell you it's not right?
Yeah.
Are you saying you can't do it, Mr. Morgan? It's like they're drooling at the mouth saying, come on, tell me you can't do it. You've been saying you want to work all these years. Come on. And it's like that. And that was brutal there. I said, really? I'm the brain injury survivor. I'm having to tell you that you've got this set up all wrong, dead wrong. You should have me set up in a job that is either at a desk or where I can work with people, not doing physical labor that will cause pressure on my brain. And they were right. After about an hour, my head was killing me. I had such a severe headache. And the man that was so wonderful, the director of the place, he said, Mr. Morgan, go home. Don't come back.
Good.
And I'm saying, really? This is what you call training. And that's why I love Brain Injury Radio, too. We have a voice where you can tell that. I'm tired of people saying that we can't anymore, that we won't, and recovery is possible. And we're living testimony to it.
Yes. Is there, when you talk about the ADA and all those rules, I didn't go all through the site, but you're right, it's a great resource. When it comes to a job like that, and they put you in a job that obviously is not a good one, like you said, labor intensive for somebody who can't have pressure in the brain, is there any protection in that ADA to your job description?
There's a lot of different things out there, and I'm not going to mention too many of them because I don't know all of them. And I also want to invite, you remember my guest I was supposed to have, and we had all the problems that night with the Blog Talk not letting him get through.
Yes.
I spoke to his office, and he said he wants to come in possibly next week. And so I'm going to hold off on everything I say about it, but he has a lot to say about that. The ADA is, if you have a disability, you do not have to disclose it when you apply for a job.
I wouldn't.
people in the past used to say, do you have a disability? That's actually not mandatory that they have to ask that. And that's prying most of the time. I wish I had the paperwork in front of me talking about that. I could explain it better. But I know people who are working and have jobs now, and they did not disclose they have a disability. And they turn out to be great workers. we hear that there's not enough workers in certain fields, but they never look at the brain injury survivor to see if how could we get them to do it when they're special. I don't know if you know it, the Ticket to Work program is a program designed to help people with all disabilities be able to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And I'm on that program. I have been for years now. I haven't been able to get off of it and become totally full-time employed, but I've increased my hours, and I've been able to work more over the past few years. In fact, working with this has actually increased my hours at work. And you're allowed to earn up to, I think it's $1,010 a month on Ticket to Work, as an example, without
okay.
it causing you to lose your benefits.
That was going to be my question. I'm sure a lot of people would want to know, if you tried that, would you lose your benefits? But no, you can earn a certain amount.
And that's where I would recommend that everybody who wants to go back to work, go see a counselor at either an independent living center or your Social Security Administration, which is sometimes hard to get them to understand.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go there.
I know. You go through it. There's so much government bureaucracy and red tape a million miles long that you have to go through that it's a shame. I don't know why they can't have a simple form for people who have a problem filling out a paper, and they want to make you go fill out a form. I'll give you an example. I had what's called a continuing disability review, and this was many years ago, the first time it happened, and that's something they do with people with disabilities in my state, and I think they do every state, every so often. And I had one, completely did the report. They had me go to a doctor, and the doctor was not a brain injury specialist, not anything. He was a regular doctor in the middle of nowhere, about 50 miles from my house. I had to go 50 miles to get there. And I said, why not go to my doctor in Augusta, Georgia, who's only 10 miles away? Oh, we don't deal with them. I went to an old country doctor, and he looked like he's ready to retire. He was a nice man, but he said, so what's your problem? I said, I'm a brain injury survivor. I don't see anything. I said, do you have any of the papers? No. And he felt my head. He said, oh, I feel some incisions. Okay. And that's how my brain injury was. that's how they determined if I had a brain injury. I said, sir, I must have hundreds of papers and printouts and computer documents. Don't you want to see them? No, I don't. And within 2 weeks after that, and I'm thinking, that's the strangest thing I've ever gone through. Make me go 50 miles when my doctor's all in Augusta, Georgia, make me go to some little town I've never even heard of in the middle of nowhere to a little country doctor who's not a brain injury specialist. And then I get another letter, and it said about 2 or 3 weeks later, you need to do another continuing disability review. I said, I just did one and completed it. Well, it wasn't completed properly. I said, talk with the doctor.
Yeah.
I had to go to another country doctor that was in the middle of nowhere.
Get out. Why?
I'm not lying. I couldn't even believe it. My mother was alive then, and she went with me the second time because she said, Les, I don't understand this. I'm going with you. I don't care what you say. She was mad. And so she goes in there and, okay, Mr. Morgan, what's wrong? And I said, well, who are you, first of all? And he was he wasn't a country doctor, I would say, but he's just a doctor. A general practitioner. And I said, so I'm a brain injury survivor and brain aneurysm survivor. What do you have on me? And he said, I've got a few notes, but that's about it. And that's pretty bad. Pretty bad when the doctors call you. It's almost like a trick to make you fail.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get off your benefits and lose them. But over the years, I've gotten better, but still I've had that. When I hear continuing disability review, it brings back some strange feelings because it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to do it 3 or 4 times that year. I have no idea why they didn't do it after that, and I complained to my senator, and I believe that's why it stopped. I actually told them that I keep getting these reviews and filling everything out. Even my mother looked it over because I was still in bad off shape then, and
mm-hmm.
she just wanted to make sure everything was taken care of. And so that's another thing about the brutality of TBI, how we're not respected and how we're not treated like human beings. I felt like I was a dog, and I love dogs. I got a little dog sitting here in my room asleep.
And, yeah.
But I treat him far better than I was treated. I actually think millions of people with traumatic brain injuries have been treated like lower life forms.
I had that problem, too. They sent me to a clinic. I didn't have to go to a country doctor, thank God, but it was across town, and I went and I did their deal, and then I was sitting in my car. There were like three or four parking stalls, whatever, attached to, you know, it had that doctor's name written in it or whatever, mm-hmm. the name of the practice. There was a sign. Anyway, I was parked in one of the stalls. There was no one else, so they have four stalls. I'm the only car in it. I had just come out of the rigorous paces that they were putting me through that were really wearing me out. And I was just calling to tell my husband that I was finished and I was on my way home. So that's all the longer. I mean, I just came out, got in my car, sat down, got out my phone, dialed the number. And just as it was ringing for my husband to answer, this Lincoln Continental pulls in. into the slot next to me, and this well-dressed older woman got out of the car, and my window was down, and she walked over to my car, and my husband had just answered, and I said, I'm sorry, hang on just a minute, I just got done, I was going to tell you I'm on my way home, but wait a minute. And this lady walks up to the car window, and she says, you can't park here.
Really?
And I said, I'm really not parked here. I just came down from a doctor's appointment at this place, and I was just calling my husband to say I was on my way home. And she said, who did you see up there? And she was crowding me. I mean, she was like up against, you know, my window. Anyway, I was answering politely like the first three or four questions. And then on like the fifth one, and I bet my husband at the time was cringing on the other side of the phone, I turned into Muffin. hi, Matt, out there. I got so ticked off at this lady. I said, if you don't get away from my car and I have to get out of my car, lady, you're going to be really, really sorry. So I suggest you step the back. Right now. I said, and who are you? And she said, I'm the owner of that place. And I said, really? Well, I'll make sure to let Social Security never send a soul down here again because you're an abusive witch.
Wow. My goodness.
And I did. I came back and called. And at that time, I was so angry. I don't know if you guys ever do it, but I was so angry I was in tears, and I called up and I said, you order me to go down to a place like this with some nut hole, you know, she's got four parking stalls, I'm in one of them, you think I was sitting there having a picnic, you know?
It makes you wonder, wow.
Seriously, I'm using the phone for 2 seconds just to say I'm on my way home because they were, you know, everybody was keeping track of my driving at the time, you know, I was kind of new at driving, and I mean, I was just there a second. You know, I asked her what the, you know, hell happened at home to set off her day so poorly, or was she always that pleasant, you know?
I bet you were mad, and I bet this is a different Kim than we know.
not when I get that mad. It was just crazy. She just kept going. You know what I mean? That's
yes.
It's
and that's what I'm
idea.
Talking about. That's the brutality. I'm going to say brutality until somebody tells me that it's not brutal, until somebody tells me, no, it's mamby-pamby stuff. No, it's not either. It's serious, tough stuff. You hear the term tough love?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be tough love, not only to love a person with brain injury, but for a person with brain injury to love anybody else. I mean, we've been through some major, mind-boggling catastrophes.
Yeah,
and yet we have enough laughter is still left inside her. That's what I love. I love it when I hear you or someone else laugh or someone crack me up on the show. I'm saying, did that really happen? Did I really go through all that junk all those years ago and I'm laughing now? That what amazing testimony that is. I think that's the the apple in the pie that makes that American apple pie or worldwide
apple
pie.
Right. That's right. Well, people should be nice. You know, you just never know. It's enough to make you a little surly after everything you've been through and then all the hoops they want to put you through when you get treated like a pickpocket on top of it.
That's for
tough.
Sure.
You know, that is tough.
I'm glad you said like a pickpocket because a lot of traumatic brain injury survivors are looked at like we are pickpockets.
That's what I felt like.
Sometimes you see a person with a disability that dress nice, you can't tell they have it. Sometimes they look rough and look like they feel bad, and people are afraid to sit beside them, and they would turn out to be some of your best friends. But the way society looks at people and the way we are trained to think about people is like, oh, no, should I go anywhere near that person? When I first started with our support group, I met people like that. In the beginning, I was kind of nervous because I met people that looked homeless sometimes. Man, they turn out to be some of the dearest friends I've had. They'll help you any way they can. They just happen to be broke and don't have a dime.
Sometimes, you know, I know in the beginning that, you know, I was kind of depressed at the change. And, you know, one of the things about depression is maybe you don't feel like putting on your Sunday clothes not in your case, but, you know, in a woman's case, you know, putting on your face every day, it's harder. I mean, for one thing, you're a lot more tired if you're depressed and you're just starting in the process. You might have been in a three-piece Brooks Brothers last week, you know, but all of a sudden, you know, your world gets turned upside down, and about the last thing on your mind today is a three-piece Brooks Brothers suit,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I feel like wearing a pair of jeans with the holes in them and a dirty T-shirt. I feel so rough sometimes.
And
I feel like that's what I look
on,
like.
Right? I mean, to get out of bed and even go that far.
Yeah. And there's some times where I have to struggle late in the day just to get up to brush my teeth. I said, well, I still have one tooth left. I'm just kidding. But it feels like it's going to be that way because I feel so bad I can't get up to even brush my teeth or comb my hair. And that's how it was the other day. I mean, I could not get up. Today, even when I went to work, I actually had to call in first and say I'm going to be an hour late because I couldn't go on my regular time. I didn't feel good enough. And how many of us out there just feel like, wow, I've had enough sometimes. I can't take any more. You can, whether you know it or not, is what you're willing to take because every one of us in some time in our life are going to experience something that is brutal and beyond our belief. It's hard to imagine some of the people's stories out there that we're waiting to call in that are going to tell some amazing stories. I mean, how long have we been on now? Do you remember exactly when we came on? Craig's been on over 2 years, like 2 years and 4 months, I think, something like that.
What have we been on, about 4 months of that now?
About four and a half. I don't remember exactly. But it's been a roller coaster of a ride, but a roller coaster is fun unless you're scared of it. In the beginning, I was terrified of it.
Me too.
I'm scared to death of it. What am I doing?
Yeah, I know. He said, since you have experience, I said, experience? I've been doing shows over the summer, and the first one I did, I had no idea. You know, I can't read it and then try to do it. I just have to try to do it. I didn't know those shows were staying there.
For all
eternity? I'm experienced, all right. I've made just about every mistake you can.
But you know what? I'm sure you'll probably say it. I have learned so much from my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a brain injury and you feel like you're making too many mistakes, laugh about it. Get up and go back, Jack, and do it again, like the song says by Steely Dan.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. You know what I did today?
What?
This is one of those you got to laugh and not cry. I normally have a meeting at noon that I go to, a support meeting that I go to at noon every Tuesday. Well, once a month, once a month I have my Daughters of the Revolution, my DAR meeting. And today was my DAR meeting. Well, they had asked me, a gal called me about a week ago and asked me if I could come early and help do some setup because it was going to be kind of a special function. And I said, okay, well, anyway, I got stuck on the phone. I was 35 minutes late. I go flying across the city. I get there. I run up to the door. The door is locked, and it should be an hour before everybody else arrives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I rattle the door. And a gal comes to the door. It's in the basement of a church where we meet. And I said, I'm here for the DAR meeting. And she said, oh, honey, that's next week. And I just looked at her because I had gotten all dressed up and I had on my medal and, you know, all this stuff that we're not, it's secret. You're not supposed to wear it out in public, right? Only at the meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got all this stuff on, and I go walking back to my car, and I looked at my watch, and I'm like, okay, I'm 35 minutes late for this meeting that isn't. I could be a half hour early for the meeting that is, and I wound up going to my regular noon meeting.
Well, it's funny, but at the time, I know I had to feel bad. But the fact that you can laugh about it, that's priceless there. There have been holidays that we've had where I work at Walton Options, and they send out a regular flyer on any holidays and any special events we have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what holiday it was in the past few months, but the office was closed, and I just get up out of bed, go on into work. And I said, darn, nobody's here. I wonder where everybody's at. They must be out in the community visiting with people. After about an hour, I'm saying, man, I'm the only person in the whole office. Where's everybody at? I had to turn on the lights and just get everything going. And I unlocked the doors and I'm looking around and I said, this doesn't feel right. Usually there's four or five people minimum around. And nobody was there. No phone calls, no nothing. I forget what holiday it was, but I was there on a holiday, and we were supposed to be off work. And I was getting paid to be off, and what I do, I went in and worked for about 3 hours before I finally said, oh, boy. It wasn't Christmas or anything like that. I forget what it was. And so I called my supervisor and said, I just want to make sure. Are we off today? She said, are you at work? I said, yes, I am. She said, go home. You're off today. Oh, thank you. She said, you're a really devoted employee. You can come in on holidays. I felt like a goofball when I saw what I had done. But,
well, you really got to laugh about that. You know, the first few times that kind of stuff happens, you cry. Like, I remember going when I was still working, and I went one day, and I was a typical woman. I got more shoes than Carter has pills, but I got to work, and we were having our all-staff meeting, and I slid into the all-staff meeting, and I was sitting there, and I crossed my legs, and I looked down, and I had on two black shoes, but they were two different black shoes. So I had on high heels, and they were black high heels. They just didn't happen to match.
Oh, my goodness, I can see that. I've done that myself. I'm supposed to go to a big meeting, say the Brain Injury Association of South Carolina or Georgia, something like that, and spent all this time trying to get everything together, got down there, and I had one black and one brown shoe on. I didn't have a clue. I had someone walk up to me, Les, did you forget something when you're getting ready today? I said, not that I know of. And that got me thinking, did I leave some important papers? And I start checking my pockets, and I said, I'll go to my car and see now. Why did you say that? Have you looked down lately? What are you talking about? And I looked down, and I must have turned as red as a fireball.
Oh, God.
And I was 60-something miles from my house, so I couldn't go and get my shoes.
Oh, no.
So I decided after I got over being embarrassed, I said, didn't you know the new thing is to wear two different colored dress shoes? One black
Good
and one
thinking.
Brown?
Good thinking.
And I had everybody asking me about it. Do you know your shoes? Yeah, don't you wear them like that? That's the new thing. You didn't know that? And they would eventually find out, but they liked how I handled it. And that's a brain injury lesson right there to not only laugh about it, but just go ahead and go with it the best you can.
Yeah, that's for sure. That was really, no pun intended, that was really thinking on your feet, though, to come back with that one really fast the way you did.
I felt my heart start racing. I felt like I was like, oh, wow, what am I supposed to do? Because there were a lot of important, so-called important people. You know, we're all important people when you think about it. But there are a lot of people I was supposed to meet with and talk with, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I want to hide my feet. And finally, I brought it out and talk and laugh with people, and they just laughed with me. Well, I've done things, and I heard about 100 stories of other people doing similar things in different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
It shows we're all more similar than we realize sometimes.
I think it's good we talk about it, though, because that day that I did that with the shoes when I was still working,
yeah.
I got up like I had to go to the bathroom, and I burst into tears in the stall. I was horrified that I did that. I had that shame, you know, that a lot of us feel in the beginning when
I had that very bad. I was embarrassed about everything I did, it seemed, because
mm-hmm.
my mother would have said, Les, you were a basket case.
Yeah,
and I'm a guy. I know as a guy, you're not supposed to cry, but in the early days, I cried a lot. She said I couldn't even control my nerves. She said I was a nervous wreck. So I know what you're talking about. I'm not ashamed to say that.
Well, it's true. I mean, that's why I think it's important we talk about this. You know, we talk about these kind of things because, you know, when it's the first few times it happens to you and you're by yourself. You know, it ain't funny, you know, it isn't until later.
Absolutely.
When you find out that a lot of us do it and you find out that you either just, you know, laugh and make a joke about it. In my case, I make a blonde joke about it. You did some quick thinking on your feet.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just tell the truth and say stuff happens, you know, stuff happens. I was in a hurry this morning, or gosh darn that dog, you know, I was so busy paying attention to one thing. You know, wasn't focusing on the other. I just, you know, and you get past it, and you just go on and you move on. But, you know,
yes.
The first few times those kind of things happen, they can be really unnerving because you're already feeling, again, no pun intended, because we've been talking about shoes, but, you know, you're already not feeling steady on your pins. Your mind is confused. There's so many things going on. And, you know, showing up at work with the wrong kind of shoes is sometimes the straw that breaks the camel's back when you're on the edge emotionally anyway,
yeah.
You know?
And before my mother passed away, now I think it'll be 6 years in May. May. She would watch out for me. Even in my later years, although she knew I could do it, she just said, let me see what you got on, boy. She was just a... Even though she was 86 when she passed, she loved to dress up all as much as she could and go out and have fun. My mother was a fun-loving woman that didn't act 86 years old when she passed. She acted more like she was about 50 at the most. She was load of fun, and she'd tell you in a heartbeat if you weren't dressed right, I don't like that tie, Les Paul. That does not look good on you. Go take that thing off. I taught you better than that.
Said,
oh, really,
my
you don't like it. And sometimes I would just, well, I'd be in a rush to get ready for a meeting or something, and I'd say, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't need to ask Mom. I'm just going to do it. And she'd see me come out, and she said, I'm sorry. That does not look right on you. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I said, what, Mom? You're embarrassed? And,
uh-oh.
And I'd be feeling bad, but I'd be laughing because the way she said it, because she always had a comedic side in her.
Mm-hmm.
And she would just say, I taught you better than that. You better go dress right. And so she taught me that I need to match my colors, and it's hard to do that when you've had a TBI and you can't
mm-hmm.
stay focused, and you've also got a deadline where someone was riding with me to that meeting that she was talking about at the time, so I had to run like crazy and find another tie, and I just barely found it in time to leave and get mm-hmm. there as it was starting. And I mean, there's a lot of people out there that saying, you think I would go outside right now and dress up. I don't remember how. That was me.
Yeah.
I mean, I would mismatch everything. I'd probably look like I was wearing a 50s suit mixed with an 80s, mixed with a 70s. One of those funky colored ones from the 70s that they used to have. I'd be embarrassed to see myself in something like that.
Well, at least you wouldn't be wearing tights and a cape like Fantastic Frank out there.
Oh, that's right. Where is Mr. Fantastic tonight? Is he?
He's
he on
in the chat room yet?
Oh,
he's
see him at first.
Yeah, he came in a little bit ago, but I saw a picture of him. He sent out his newsletter. I think I got it today. I get today and yesterday mixed up. It's been a few hours, but anyway, I was reading through his newsletter and I saw that picture of him in his tights and his cape. That always cracks me up.
Our caped crusader,
that's
Mr.
Right.
Fantastic Frank.
Yeah, that's right.
I actually downloaded a song a while ago I was going to try to play, and I'm looking for it. I don't see where it went. I downloaded it. It said it was downloading. Where would the one you just downloaded be on here?
Try at the very bottom. Do you type your name? Do you put, like,
you know, this
LP?
Time I forgot to type my name this time. I just typed the name of the song.
It could be at the bottom. Or you can try searching if you know what you typed in. Otherwise, try at the bottom. The other day, I even put my name in front of something when I did the interview with that gal, and it showed up at the bottom. I was looking all through the Kims going, it said it uploaded. I couldn't figure it out, and it was at the very bottom.
Was it? For some reason, I come on, and I find them all mixed up in different places. No, it's not even showing it. I know it's in here. It said it downloaded it. Well, I'll just keep going for a while until I can find it. But
yeah. The other thing, if you don't see it at the bottom there, there is a window up top.
And I just typed the name of what I put in there, and it's not showing it up. I don't understand that. Oh. It said it downloaded it. It said it successfully downloaded it. I'm just going to show all of them and run through them. But I don't want to talk about that too much. We'll just keep on going.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the reason I put some of the pictures I put on the screen of the brain, like one says inside traumatic brain injury, and then one shows two football players in an x-ray running head-on into one another. And another one shows a brain aneurysm, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that one is brain aneurysm.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
It shows the real trauma and the horrible pain that people suffer. The one that's blue and shows the orange brain, that kind of reminds me of how my brain hurts sometimes. It feels like fire inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people can really see it in people that especially have a hidden disability. You know, if it's not visible, people don't often know what you're talking about.
Right.
Well, I don't see anything. You're looking great. Man, you sound great. Oh, I have the same thing. I have exactly the same thing. My memory's terrible, too. I forget all the time. They don't know what short-term memory really means most of the time unless they have some other illness that may affect their memories.
Right.
I repeatedly am told that I have the exact same thing when I tell someone I have short-term cognitive memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, that's what I've got. Did a doctor diagnose it? No, that's the way you say it. So you do know about it, huh?
Yeah.
And
that's a pretty cool diagram you got. I like both of them. The football players is weird, but I like that the one that sections it all off in different colors.
Yeah. I was looking for some that kind of represents some of what they what you see out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing how many of us, there's millions and millions of us out here, and Craig just goes endlessly, all of us go endlessly talking about how many people there are striving to survive, and they're not getting the help they need, and it's like they've been shot in the head with a bullet, I hate to say, like the congressman, Ms. Giffords, was.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice it then, but if you've had an injury that is, after you've recovered, it's not visible, what do you do then? You're a hidden, invisible. Okay, you're fine. We say you're fine. I've had so many agencies I've gone to, and there's one I was fixing to say, and I just remembered it for the first time. I went to a, I was actually invited to go to a facility that actually deals with nuclear weapons to speak. And I'm saying, really?
Wow.
And, I mean, it made me nervous. I didn't know what to do. I didn't really want to, but I decided, okay, I'll do it, because they have thousands of employees, and they said they want to know more about traumatic brain injury. I said, really? Okay. And I had to think long and hard. I didn't know if I wanted to do that, because it's just, you know, it's secure areas and everything.
It was in a nuclear plant?
Yes. What? And say it again.
A nuclear place?
Yes.
God, they're going to have to worry about cancer before brain injuries, but okay.
Well, it's a very secure area, and they said the area we're in has none of that. I know. They're like, yeah, that's true. I know what you mean. And I had to think long and hard. I'm thinking, I'm not going to go there at first. And for a couple of weeks, I don't want to. Next thing you know, I'm there. And there were men with weapons watching us the whole time, armed guards everywhere, M16s. And one person had their iPod in their car, and they wouldn't allow their car to even come on the lot. They detected the iPod from a long ways off. And so that person wasn't allowed to even enter to speak.
Because they could take pictures, probably.
Yeah. And, I mean, I felt like I was in some large military base, and I was nervous.
I decided,
okay, I'm going to do something a little crazy. I'm going to mix it up. I instead of being terrified, which I was, I said, mind over matter. I'm a person just like everybody here. They just got clearance that I don't, so I got to be careful how I do this. So I leaned over to the guy that was my escort, and I said, sir, I'm going to tell you so I don't scare you guys, because all these men have weapons all around me, men and women. I mean, and there were a lot of them. And they were escorting us down to where we were going. And so I'm talking, and he says, well, what are you talking about, Mr. Morgan? I said, I have an invisible disability. He said, what does that mean? I said, I have traumatic brain injury, but it's very well hidden. Can you tell? He said, if you wouldn't have said that, I would have never known it. I thought you're average Joe anybody. I said, I'm telling you because when I go up there and speak, I'm going to say I brought my friend with me. And he says, where's your friend? I don't see anyone with you. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, no, no, no. And they started to draw their weapons, scare me to death.
Oh, my God.
And I said, where is he at? We cannot have anybody on the property that is not secure. I said, no, no, no. I said, me. I said, I'm going to say, and that's why I'm telling you. He said, oh, okay. And pulled his weapon down. Scared me half to death. My heart's racing real fast. And I say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I got the idea of walking in here. I have a hidden, invisible disability. Mine's a traumatic brain injury. And I want to introduce myself saying I have a friend here that I brought as a guest. He said, where's your guest? And he said, again, you're not allowed to bring it. He didn't understand what I was saying. I was going to pretend and say that I have a friend here with a major severe traumatic brain injury, and it was really me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was disguising myself as a person without a disability.
Yeah, and maybe not a good place for that one, Les Paul.
It actually worked out really good after they understood. I tell you what, it terrified me when I saw weapons. Scared me half to death. But so I go up there and I look out, and there were several hundred people in this large room. And I said, hello, my name's Les Paul Morgan. I'm here to talk about my guest tonight that I brought with me. And they're all looking around again, but they're apparently been told that there's no one to worry about. And I said, he's fixing to come in the room in a minute. I'm going to bring him out, but I want to tell you about him. He's had a brain aneurysm. He's had a brain injury. Then he had a second brain aneurysm. Then he had another brain injury. Then another brain injury. And he was in a coma. And he has metal clips in his head, and he's got a porcelain plate in his head. This guy will blow your mind when you see him. And I was saying, please don't stare when you see him. Please promise you won't stare when you see this person. It's not nice to do that to people. I wouldn't do that to you, and I hope you won't do this. He's a dear friend of mine. And everybody's really excited, like, wow, my goodness, this person has been through anything. And I said, he's in the back. I'm doing this to introduce him. And I I went to the guy. I told him I was going to do that. And so he said, all right, go back there. And I walked back there, and I stand for about 30 seconds, and I said, well, huh, he's gone. Where is he? And I walk out, and everybody's looking at me real strange. And I said, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm the person with the hidden invisible disability. How are you today? My name's Les Paul Morgan. And I didn't know how that was going to go, but, man, they did a standing ovation kind of thing. And I did that to kind of bring out the hidden, and very much bring out the hidden, that there are millions of people with hidden brain injuries around the world.
Yeah.
And it took me a lot of nerve to do that. I felt like I was sweating. I was really nervous. I think I've scared some guards that somebody's on the loose here that's not allowed to be. And I had them all come up and thank me. And after that, a lady comes to me, and she's wiping tears off of her face. I said, I'm sorry if I upset you. She said, no. And she handed me a 2-page printout. I said, what is this? And she said, I'm a brain injury survivor. I work here.
Really?
Yes. And I said, are you serious?
Wow.
And I got choked up just hearing. And she said, yes. She said, I had a brain injury, and I never knew I'd be able to work here again. She was back at work. And so she came to me, and then I got to know her, and she came and spoke at our support group about it. And so there's a lot of people. And, Kim, you could probably do that kind of thing. So, I decided to step outside of myself and step out of the box, as you call it sometimes. I don't like to call it box. I say I destroyed the box a long time ago because the world is round. It's not a box. And you go around it. You don't lock yourself in a vault in a box. You know, it's like
right.
a safe. And that's just one of my sayings. But I'm so glad I had the nerve to do that day, because a lot of people came back to me and said, I never knew what you meant by an invisible disability, Mr. Morgan, until you explained it that way. I said, it took me a lot of heartache. It took me a lot of severe pain. And it took a lot of tears between my mother and my family watching over me and seeing me nearly die several times to be able to say that. And so I decided not to say it for myself, but for my fellow mankind and womankind all around the world. And so I'm glad I remembered. That's what I was trying to say when the computer messed up earlier. It took me till just now to say it. I see we have, let me see, we have another caller, I believe. I'm trying to see who this is. Okay. I see we have someone from the 803 area code, and I'm going to bring you on if you would like to.
That's you.
No, it's a different one. It's a different one. Hello?
Hey.
Hey. How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
Would you like to say who you are?
Yes, this is Andrea.
Andrea! Hey, Andrea.
I wanted to ask Andrea about luminosity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is great.
Cool.
When they did the neuro test on me or whatever, I had done the I did the luminosity for a while, I did occupational therapy and speech therapy. But it helps. I think it helps some with my the scores on my tests when they retested me. And it shows also the graph as you're doing it. It shows if you've improved or not. So yeah, I think it's well worth the money for Lumosity.
I haven't found out how much. I signed up. I mean, I've got the, I have to do it when I'm thinking of it, and I only use this computer for radio, so I didn't really have anything to put it on, so I went to a tab and I signed up real quick, so I've got the welcome letter in my mailbox on my other computer. I haven't looked at it yet, but at least I got something back from them, because I knew I'd forget the name by the next day and I wouldn't know about it. So I haven't seen the pricing yet, but I went through and answered the questions. They ask you all those pre-screening questions at the beginning.
Right.
So did it help you? Did you have any problem with your memory, and did it help at all?
I mean, yeah, they have like little different games that you can do that can help with your memory. So, yeah.
He actually brought them to one of our support group meetings recently, and our friend that is in our support group has a projection on the screen so you can enlarge it, and she showed it. You want to describe that to her, Andrew?
It was like these fish swimming around, and you had to feed the fish and remember where the fish were at.
Oh.
And so it kind of works. That particular game worked on your attention so that you could focus and remember. It also would help with your memory, I guess, but you had to remember where the fish was at to feed it. So, but
the fish would go where the food is.
They swim all around in different, like a circle, and so the fish get mixed up, like.
Yeah.
So you click on the fish. What I did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But you.
I was just picturing, because I happen to have a bowl with two goldfish in it, and I was like, it doesn't really matter where I put the food, because they swim to it.
Oh, no, you have to go to it and feed them, yeah.
Okay, all right, all
then,
right.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'll be looking forward to trying it out, because Les Paul said on somebody else's show last week that you used it, and a couple other people. I think Matt was in our chat room, but I think he had to go. And I know a few people in the group I've heard talk about it lately. So it got me interested, and I had never heard of it, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah, as far as the memory, there's like a name game thing where like it's, like you wait on people in like a restaurant. It's really neat. So that helps with the memory. That particular one, I remember it.
I'm bad with names. You can tell me a name and I forget it in the
That's
next.
Me too.
I'm really bad at that.
It probably could help you with that.
Unless I can link it to something like Matt Duffin. I'm always going to remember his name, because when I first saw it on the board in the chat room, what I saw was Muffin. And so I linked his name with Muffin, and when I remember Muffin, then I remember Matt Duffin. So
Matt Duffin, the Muffin Man.
the Muffin Man. That was a trick I learned on my own in that time, you know, in that 17 years where there wasn't anybody to help. When I wasn't living in a world of Post-it notes, I tried linking it to something that might make me remember, you know, like I'd look at the person and I don't know, maybe they'd remind me, either their name would remind me of something like Muffins did, but it would have to click right then when I was hearing their name, because otherwise it was, you know, gone the minute I said, hi, how are you, you know, and started talking. Or maybe something they look like, a celebrity, or, you know, just whatever I could think of in that split second to link it to something that I could remember, but didn't always work, but it helped.
Yeah.
Andrew, would you like to talk about anything else, since you haven't been on here a lot? I mean, she knows a lot about the Brain Injury Association herself, because she's been to some of the conferences and things. She could maybe give you a different perspective, because a lot of people are interested in knowing more about it.
What about the Brain Injury Association? Did you want me
to describe maybe the conference that you went to, that we both went to the last time?
In Columbia?
Yes.
Oh, we have a really good time. We have a good time, but we learn a lot about different, they have different speakers, like Dr. Herza was one of the speakers, and he talks about traumatic brain injury, and he's really good, and you just learn a lot. They had something about a choir
art class.
Art
class?
Yeah, there's a fun art class. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
so,
it's very helpful. And they want you to tell your story. What's that lady's name? I can't think of her. She's wonderful.
I can't
like
her name, but she's really good. and we had some of the local, some of our local doctors there speaking. They were, I mean, it was really informative, really good.
It was wonderful. We had people saying, wow, I didn't know something this wonderful existed. And, I mean, we had about four and five classes going on at the same time, and there'd be a schedule saying who there was you could and what you could go to.
And you could pick the ones you would rather go to.
One could be on domestic violence. One could be on art, like we were talking about. One could be on recovering as quickly as possible and maybe memory games. One could be on how to use the Mac, PC, and other assistive technologies to help you improve your life. We had probably 8 or 10 classes going on at any given time over the two days.
Are there things on the Mac as opposed to your regular PC that are conducive to recovery? Why would that be a class? Does Apple have something special for?
They do have some things.
They have applications, like if you have an iPod or an iPhone, either one of those.
I got an iPad and a smartphone.
Okay. Well,
they seem to be more disability friendly. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Liz.
Just go ahead.
The iPad, you can download things from the Apple that they've got games and things like that that can help you with your cognitive memory loss and things like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I better get out of the music deal and get out of iTunes and get over into the apps. I thought apps only had Angry Bird and stuff on it.
No. When I took occupational therapy, they told me about some free downloads. I could download some different work games. I think Abacus was one of them. They have a paid version of that, and then they have one that you can later you can pay for it if you want to. But they had different word games that can help you, and there's other ones that also there's one called Hot Peppers, and you line up like it helps you. Like with you line up three things that are the look alike. I guess scanning is what I'm trying to think of. It helps you scan with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So like it might have it up and down or across, but you have to like have three of them that are alike.
I see.
So but the like apps aren't that expensive. They're really helpful. They had me working on some of those games and things like that before I took the neuro test again, and it seemed to help out a lot.
Wow, that's cool. I actually have bought a few apps, but I haven't really looked at that many, so I'll have to look through those more.
Yeah. Andrew, what did you look up to find them?
I didn't. I had an occupational therapist that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Told you about him.
Yeah, she told me about him. We've had.
You
a
know,
way
one
of
night, what you might do. I'm sorry, Andrea.
Oh, go ahead.
One time, what you might do is either call in or give Les Paul. If you look at your iPad and you have several of those, it might be something that he could announce on the show, or that you could call in and just say, because more
that
and more
be
people
part of
are
another show.
Or maybe he could list them somehow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So that way, it would be written down, and that so you would be able to remember it better.
And technology is changing the world.
True.
It really
I'll
is.
I'll be glad to share some of those with y'all, because some of them aren't very expensive, or either they're free. So, and
most of them aren't that expensive anyway, and even when you buy them. But it'd be nice to know. It would save time. I don't know about your. I think what got me frustrated at first was like if you're flipping through the pages and you click on one to look at it closer, and then whatever I was doing was making it go back to number one. Like, say there's 1,000 of those games, and that's going to be over, you know, the next 69 pages or something. And on page 38, I finally click on some app to make it bigger to see what it looks like, and I'm like, I don't want that, or I do want that, you know, and I pay for it. And then when I try to go back, it doesn't go back to where I left off. It starts over on one again. So I don't think I've ever seen the last pages of of any of those.
The best thing to do is just type the name of it in.
And that's why it'd be helpful, you know, to like if you when just sometime when you get around to it in the next week or two, if you're on your iPad, just jot them down, a couple of those, and Les Paul can post them or list them on the show.
Andrew, we put you to work already.
If you have, let's see, if somebody has an iPod, it's helpful too, because like, you don't have to have an iPad. Like, they showed me on an iPad, but actually I have an iPod, which is just, you know, an iPod is smaller, but I don't have an iPad. So, but I can do some of the same things she was showing me on the iPad, I can do on the iPod.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, some people might not have an iPad, so they might have an iPod.
Right. Well, that's good if they can... See, my vision is so bad. I have a smartphone, but my vision isn't the best. It's mostly old age, I think.
I still want a smartphone. But, you know.
You ladies need to talk together about that.
My wants won't hurt me right now.
Well, you know, I thought I was maybe one of the last holdouts on it, and I was just really fortunate last year for I just had a plain flip phone and I used it, you know. I mean, I didn't do any tricks or texting at that time. I didn't do anything but just use my phone if I needed it. And then my husband kept asking me about it, and I was like, I don't need that, you know. I got my iPad. I just need to have a phone if I, you know, if I'm out on the road and something happens, whatever. And I don't know. My husband is a techie, so long before he'd ever get jewelry or something that a girl might think is romantic, he bought me a smartphone for my birthday last year. So,
that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very generous gift, and I looked at it and went, wow, does that come with a gold chain or a silver chain? No, I'm just kidding. I just...
Les thinks more on the romantic side.
Yeah, that's nice. I bet he would. He seems like he would. And Gary means well. That was a nice gift. And I love it now because I got the camera in it, you know, and I like to take pictures. I don't always have my big camera with me, and they take kind of crappy pictures when you've got a real camera, but still, when you're just on the spot, it's fun to have it there. And I've looked up places, you know, when I've needed to find something, maybe a dry cleaners or something, and I'm in a neighborhood I'm not usually in. I've looked stuff up.
Okay.
So, you know, once you get it, I didn't miss it until I had it, and now I really like it. I'd probably miss it if I didn't. So
you'd feel lost without it, wouldn't you now?
Yeah. In fact, they have an app that you can put on there if you do lose it. I don't know. I forgot what you're supposed to do, but I put the app on there.
We need the apps to teach us how to use them.
I know. I'd have to call Apple and say, hey, I lost my smartphone. I've got that lost smartphone app on it. Now, what was I supposed to do? It's going to, like, blow up, and the person who stole its hand, and they're going to turn blue, like when they rob banks or something. I don't know.
I want to say something. It just said 90 seconds. I didn't realize it was that close. If you stay on the phone, everybody, you can continue on, but after the 90 seconds are up, you can't. Tim, I was loading something. Can you say the phone number? I can't see it right this second.
Yeah, you bet. You got to call. I'm scrolling up. You got to call in really quick. The phone number is 424-243-9540. Again, that's 424-243-9540. Call in So you can stay on for overtime. Otherwise, for the live listeners who aren't going to be dialing in, thanks so much for being here tonight.
And yes, so thank you, Kim. And everybody who's listening, this is Les Paul, the Dreamcatcher, but the show's not over yet if you want to continue on, so keep on the phone. But if you hang it up, you won't be able to get back on. The show will be uploading from there, and then later on you can listen to what you've heard. And I see some other people have come on, so they must have got it in the last few seconds. There's a couple of times it said I had 5 seconds before it was too late. There goes the 10-second countdown. Come on, everybody, dial on in. We got something on sale. Come get it. Well, I'm happy that my girlfriend, Andrea, actually came on here. And, Andrea, I hope you'll stick around, but I want to check and see who a couple of these other guests are in a minute. Will you stick around? Because you might help somebody out.
Okay.
Let me see.
And we
wanted
to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, attorney at law. He's a TBI law specialist. Check out his website at tbilaw.com. That's Gordon Johnson. Thanks for his sponsorship.
That's right. Thank you, Gordon. We appreciate it very much for your sponsorship. And I've got a number that's been on hold now for a long time. I'm sorry. 486. Is that one? 484, I'm sorry. Is that one that has spoken, Kim? I don't believe it.
484, I think, is Jenny.
Okay, I'm going to open that one up. And we have one other that's on there, and I'll let them in on it. Hello, 484?
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing? Are you there?
Yes, this is Jenny.
Okay,
I'm unable and keep getting an error. I'm unable to log in, so I can't go to the chat site and see anybody.
Okay.
I was wondering where you were. When he said 484, I'm like, that's Jenny, but hasn't been in the chat room all night. I was looking for you.
You know, I was wondering where you were, too.
Well, I keep getting an error from Facebook. An error occurs every time I try to log in using Facebook.
That happened to me yesterday and the day before. I could not get on no matter what I tried. That's why I stayed on the phone.
I've rebooted. Last night I didn't use my phone, and I fell asleep, and it was late. So I was like, oh, boy, I got to get on. I want to see who's there. I definitely want to hear what Les has to say, even though I missed it, because I can always replay it and hear the rest of it, what I missed later after the show. But you can take the next caller. Because I overslept, and I can't see what's going on in the chat, and I'm not up to date, so go ahead.
Well, the title of excuse me, I got tongue tied there. I did that playing. The
tongue oops as opposed to Kim's finger oops.
I did.
Yep, that's right.
It was titled "Wake Up World: Brain Injury Is Real, But the Brutality of Brain Injury." Is really below the lower parts, the second part. It's the brutality of TBI, basically, is what I wanted to talk about. It's brutal. It's evil. It's mean. It's nasty. But it's turned some of us into some pretty awesome people. And I'm talking to some of my favorites in that sense. And I get to meet so many wonderful people on here. Each and every one of you have such a diverse and unique story that, man, this is awesome. It's brain food. It's mind food. It's no mind games. It's a beautiful world out there if you can see through the fog of brain injury. And that's what we've talked about a lot tonight.
And, well, you just ask away. What would you like to know from me?
From the beginning to the very – no, I'm playing. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to – how about if you want me to leave you on mic and then just – go to the next one, and if you have anything to say, you just come on. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that would be fine. And also, if you want to ask me a specific question, just go ahead and ask me. I'm an open book.
Okay, and if you hear me with my brain oopsies, like I've learned that from you. If you hear me say it, I stole it from you. So I like
how
you say that. And I don't know if you heard, but my girlfriend Andrea is on here tonight. I think she's still here. I don't think
she's still here.
All right. Well, I'm going to – the 302 area code, I'm turning you on right now. Hello, this is Les Paul speaking. Who do we have here? Hello? Hello? Well, it shows they're there. I'll turn the mic back on.
Yeah, it's Sarah. I just didn't want to talk. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well, nice seeing, hearing from you.
I didn't have my hand up.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You never know for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people forget.
And
plus one.
I need to start labeling names that people that call in regularly, and I haven't done that. And that's one of my problems there. But what were we last talking about? Because when I checked, it kind of distracted me some.
You know what I was thinking when you said whatever it was you said? was, in my own case, I did the same career. I grew up in a family business, and I did it for 25 years.
Okay.
And when I had my brain injury, I was forced to... I couldn't do what I had done anymore, and I was forced to expand my knowledge base or trying different things. I mean, when you say that we change, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of us are brilliant and we can do different things, I think, you know, like in my case, I feel like I got forced into a position to do different things, or I was just going to fold up and, you know, stay in with the shades drawn, you know, because I couldn't do what came easily. So I had to change my attitude. At first I was put off that I was going to have to try other things because I couldn't let go of the fact that I couldn't function the way that I did before. It wasn't until I could surrender to the fact and come to acceptance of the fact that I wasn't going to be able to operate on the same frequency that I did before, that I could unburden that off my shoulders and move forward, looking at it more like an adventure than a burden. And it made me more willing to try new things. And then in that, I found things that I really liked and things that I could say I've done that, but I haven't revisited. And, you know, and they kind of link together.
Yeah.
One thing links to another. But they're things that I might have never tried had I gotten to stay, you know, on the same path I was on for 25 years, for 30 or 40 years. I wouldn't have had these opportunities to expand other parts of my being.
I know what you mean. That's a beautiful way of saying that. By the way, a beautiful exclamation. Thank you.
Thanks.
We really are, after we've survived something so traumatic, so painful, so hurtful, given another chance when we've made it like we have, and we don't know what to do with it in the beginning. I didn't know what to do. I felt helpless. I might as well have been homeless, living in the streets and not knowing anybody because I didn't know where and what I was. My mother said I looked desperate for help and very sad, and yet people tell me you can't be that happy all the time, Les. What do you do? I laugh a lot. You can ask my girlfriend. We have a lot of laughter therapy, I would call it, wouldn't you say, Andrea? And we have a good time just spending time together doing things and going out in the community. And we even had a guest speaker at our support group meeting just last night that I can't remember what you call what his agency was. He worked for a federal agency and then he worked in judicial systems.
It was a CSI.
CSI. I couldn't say CSI. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see CSI on television all the time. We hear about all the crime scenes and things. And he was wonderful. I wish everybody could have been there. I wish I would have had a video of this, but we weren't allowed to take a video of it. Somebody started to take a picture and said, sorry, we can't have a picture. And so this guy... He
just couldn't take a picture of his badges.
Yeah, he had his badges and
you
everything.
You could take a picture of him, but not
his
badges.
Yeah, a picture of him we could have.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Maybe I can post a picture of him. I didn't think when I said that. Thank you for correcting me. Yay.
You have to put a black mask and a mustache on him so nobody would know. Incognito.
But
well, that was interesting.
He had us laughing so hard, but then he told how when he worked in the judicial system, how when people would come in, they would have a false facade, and they'd think that because he knew what to do, and whether a person was innocent or guilty, it didn't matter. Oh, boy, he was just the opposite. Can you describe it, Andrea, how he explained it?
No, because I was fixing, like,
that's right. He was handling this
and things like that.
Yeah, we had
talking.
Pizza and
yeah.
stuff last night at our group meeting. But he was just showing how he was not a mamby-pamby, just take whatever anybody says. He said, I was not only in that, he said, I was an advocate for the person who was accused of a crime. He said, I wanted to make sure that they were dead serious about if they were wrong or right. He said, I wanted to know for myself, is essentially what he explained. And it's nice to know there are people like this. And this man just had us laughing so much that I was almost out of breath from laughing. He was hilarious, but he was serious too. And he was telling how he loved coming to meet our disability support group and getting to know those people out in the community working to bring the world together closer with brain injury and all the different related disabilities and things. And so we had our meeting supposed to last an hour and a half, and it was close to 3 hours.
Wow.
And, I mean, we don't know how to end ours sometimes. We finally said, okay, I guess it's over now. We don't want to, but I think everybody's getting tired.
Yeah, to bring your sleeping bags next time. You're all going to be there. So, Andrea, do you karaoke too?
A little, not a lot. Just, you know, playing
we
around.
We have gotten her to.
But I have done it before.
Okay.
And everybody clapped and loved what she did.
You did it in public?
Yeah.
Oh, even better. I just meant, have you ever, like, done it? I didn't know you, like, did it.
Yeah. Well, I don't find it quite as therapeutic as Les does. But.
Well, that was still brave of you. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. That is cool. What do you remember what you sang?
Well, I know one time... Les and I did one together. I think
it was an outdoor event too.
That was my next question. Have you ever did
one time? Les and I did it at the brain injury support group. I think it was a Paul McCartney song. But
that's
then we
not
did
a duet.
Also, it was like a
duet. But then we did it outside one time, and I think we sang Electric Avenue.
That's what I was fixing to say. I was wondering if you remembered.
Really?
We rocked down to Electric Avenue.
That's one of my favorite songs.
And then we take it higher.
higher. I really like that song.
Bum, 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 bum.
Well, I do too, but I got to listen to that. I was thinking that didn't sound like it would be, I mean, in my recollection, like that would be a very easy song. Isn't there a lot of range in that? I have to listen to it. I haven't heard it for a while.
I've been trying to do it really good.
Well, the karaoke makes it so fun, and having the words move across the screen to where you follow where they stop and start, and having it coded by color, that helps so much if you have a memory problem, and it'll help your brain reteach and refocus. That's probably the most instrumental thing in my recovery is music.
Okay, do you want to hear something funny then? It's your fault, actually.
Okay, well, no, what?
And, Andrea, it's for you, too, because it's a smartphone event. But well, I've been fooling around since Les Paul's talking about this, you know, karaoke thing.
Uh-huh.
That I can't sing anymore. My husband, you can barely get him to talk, let alone he wouldn't sing, you know. And so one night we put it on YouTube because Les told us we could do that, you know, find it on YouTube and do it. And we were both like breathless and hoarse in three songs. You can tell we're really doing a lot of singing. But I was screwing around because I told you I was buying some iTunes videos before. And I got that one by only because he looked so dang cute on the jacket. But that Enrique, the hero, you know, I can be your hero, babe. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know how he kind of sings sexy in it? I recorded that on my iPhone, and I put in the little earbud thingies, and I turned on Audacity, and I sang it like that. And then I called because my husband at work, he doesn't answer his phone. When I call, he usually steps out. You know, I usually know unless he's in a meeting, he'll call back in 5 or 10 minutes or something. Well, anyway, I left it on his answering machine. God, am I bad. But it was really funny because I was using the same, oh, baby, stuff that he was singing on there. It was really fun to do, but I don't know, still working on it. But that was pretty easy to do. I printed the words. I did it the long way. I typed in lyrics to Hero, and I printed it. So I had the lyrics there, and then I just had the earbuds in because I thought it would be easier if I could sing with them. You know how you always sing along with the radio or whatever?
Yes.
I think that will be easier for me to do a little before I'm trying to do the karaoke.
Now you've got to sing at an event.
No, I don't think that'll ever happen unless it's a great event.
You would not be... You couldn't even imagine how fun it is, especially when a person just doesn't care and they can't sing at all. We've had people that literally, I don't mean to say had the worst voice on earth. I'm not saying that at all, but we've had some that, oh, wow.
Well, were they trying to be comedic?
They're just...
not really.
Sometimes think they can sing... you've seen American Idol, how someone will come on and be off key on every note and... scream and holler when it's supposed to be a love song or a soft song is sung hard
Brian
rock.
Brian is hilarious when he does it.
Yeah, we have a guy that loves to sing this, a brain injury survivor in our group, and it has helped him better than just about anything.
He can't talk real plain, but he loves to sing.
Yeah, it's affected his speech, but he loves to sing. Oh boy, it brings him alive, and he has a big old smile, and he'll come out there and say, okay, I want to sing Free Ride, or I want to sing Alice in Chains. He'll come up with the craziest thing, from hard rock to country.
He loves country.
Yeah. Garth Brooks, he'll sing a Garth Brooks song. And
that one about Toe Jam Football is hilarious.
Oh, the Beatles song. The Beatles
yes.
song, Walrus Gumboot, Toe Jam Football. Oh, Come Together. The Beatles song Come
That's
Together.
Right. Of course you'd know that. Beatles trivia. We've got Les Paul on.
Well, the song has juju eyeballs. But
yeah,
when
I wonder
he sings
what
it, would
kind
crack.
Of hallucinogens they were doing when they wrote
yeah.
that.
But it will make you crack up. And you
he
forget.
He's hilarious when he sings that.
He is. And he gets all into it. Boy, he does some mean air guitar too, boy. He tears it up.
Well, I can do that. That I would do in public. Hell, I dance in a pink elephant costume in public.
Yeah, you need to tell Kim about... I mean, Kim, you need to tell Andrea about your video so she can watch it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's see. I could put it... You're not in the chat room, are you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, if you went to YouTube and you searched Lady Gaga font, and it's two words. Lady is the first word, and then G-A-G-A-P-H-A-N-T. And then I may be...
What?
G-A-G-A-P-H-A-N-T. Gaga font. Like instead of elephant.
P-H-A-N-T.
T, yeah. Yep, it's instead of elephant, it's Gaga font. G-A-G-A-P-H-A-N-T.
Okay, so if you search...
Lady Gaga font.
Lady.
And if you want to go the extra step, it'll take you to it if you just put in Lady Gaga font. But if you want to go...
Is Gaga font one word?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
P-H-A-N-T?
P-H-A-N-T.
Oh,
P is in Paul.
Oh.
H.
P. H. Uh-huh.
A. Font.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Lady Gaga Font. Lady is one word. Gaga Font is the second word.
Oh, is there, there's a space there?
No. Yeah, a space between Lady and Gaga Font. Two words.
Okay.
Lady,
so
Gaga Font.
G-A-P-H-A-N-T.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And we get that. If not, I'll send it to her.
No, I see an elephant costume already.
Okay, now wait. Now, by the little letters, because I did a couple of them, you're looking for baby elephant walk.
Okay.
Because Lady Gaga Font actually dances, I think, to two different songs. I danced to Paradise by Coldplay and then Baby Elephant Walk.
Oh, I see one that says Baby Elephant Walk.
There you go. There you go. That's
okay.
The one I see. But they're both me. They're both, of course.
Oh, both of them are you? Okay.
Yeah, they're all me.
I see it says Kim Justice on both of them.
Yep, that would be me.
Well, I'm going to...
Yeah, I won't turn it on because it's got the music. I'll play it after
a while. Later on you watch
that.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
do it right now.
But, I got tickled about Lady Gaga Font. I'm sorry. It's hard to say the brutality of TBI and Lady Gaga Font at the same time.
Well, yeah, that's what happens to you when you take a bad blow to the head. You got to be really careful.
But really, for everyone listening who thinks that maybe we're being a little silly or having fun, after you've been through what we've been through and what you've probably been through, we need to have a lighten up time, and then we need to sometimes even get mad at people who don't understand or people, agencies that don't care. Because there are agencies that are doing wonderful things and there's ones that don't. And I hope we can work with the ones that are struggling to do the right thing and having a hard time. And if not, we'll go on in a different direction. But, I mean, we were talking about the Brain Injury Association earlier of America. And like Andrew and I both go to the Brain Injury Association of South Carolina support groups. Andrew, what do you think about going to our support group? Do you think it's a meaningful thing since we're talking about that tonight? Nice to have your input on it. You've been to it several times.
The support group?
Yes.
Sometimes if I'm in a funk, it kind of gets me out of a funk. But sometimes, it does help. It depends on,
Depends on how the day is. And
yeah,
how
it does.
Doesn't
sometimes
it?
Somebody else might need you more than you need to go, or sometimes it's helpful to go.
And that brought to mind some people that we know in our Augusta Brain Injury Support Group. I'm not going to say any names, but there's some people in particular that when they see Andrea, they just light up. And this, when Andrea doesn't know it, the person comes over to me and says, Les Paul, how do you come in here with a smile with a brain injury? I can't.
Aww.
And I said, well, what's going on today? She said, it's all I can do to get out of bed and come in here. I'm mad about it. I want to do something about it. I want to do something productive. And this one person I'm talking about studies like Dr. Amen, who's a brain injury. Teaches so many wonderful things on brain injury. And she was a teacher of some kind. I'm not certain. But she brings in all this unique material to our support group all the time, and she feels like she's sometimes overstepping her boundary. And I said, no, come on, share what you're sharing. It's very helpful. And sometimes our support group there, we go and meet together most of the time, but other times we'll meet, like if it's a parent or a husband and wife, we'll separate the group. And that way there might be something one wants to share that they don't want to share with the other, and we come up with ways to work out that too. And sometimes we have a neurologist there or a brain injury specialist that from the Brain Injury Association that will help them out, and that maybe even a behavioral specialist that can help them work on some of their situations. We've seen that a lot of that, haven't we, Andrea? Am I saying it pretty much right?
Yeah.
It turns out to be a beautiful thing. We always wind up hugging and saying goodbye and just loving on one another. I consider them all my friends. I don't know what I'd do without them. And we have a walk for thought that we do each year, a brain injury walk for thought. We did one in Augusta last last summer. I forget what date, but we had a big turnout there, and that's just to raise awareness on brain injury, and we had news channels and things out there covering it, and they were interviewing a lot of us. There's a lot of videos online you can see of that, and so we want to get people with brain injuries out there and not just living in poverty. I want to see people who can and feel they're able to function well enough to do it, to be able to live the American dream and be able to work again. I don't want to see people living the rest of their life saying, I used to have a job and now I can't work again. I used to have a life, or maybe if you were too young, or maybe you were even a baby and you grew up with it, and they're telling you you'll never be able to do what you see the rest of the world do. I say, heck no to that. I want to see that happen for millions of brain injury survivors. When we open up the floodgates and let the people out who have been told they'll never do it, I believe it'll change the world. I believe yes.
This is Jenny. I know you were talking about, you know, the brutality of it, and
yes,
it is brutal. And before my brain injury, I had family and friends, and after my brain injury, they all disappeared. And I had never traveled, and I was thinking about, what have I done today? And I don't know if you or Kim saw what I wrote. I actually, because of the support I do for brain injury survivors, whether it's TBI, ABI, there's a whole list of the whole misnomers, but it's all brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually, from my computer, I have traveled all over the world cyberly today. I have actually done support with a new woman in Greece.
Wow.
I was in the UK with another survivor. I was in Africa with another survivor, and I was out in the Midwest with another person. So even from my computer, I did more traveling today than I ever did in my entire life.
You sure this
just
is the Starship Enterprise?
Being there and helping others.
That's amazing. That's great to hear, Jenny. And I've seen how many things you've been posting. I haven't looked today, but you're just constantly posting things to help people. I love that about you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a workhorse in terms of helping people, and you don't want people to go through what you did, do you?
No, I don't. And there is, and when I first started and trying to find any kind of support or any other support pages or anything from the safety of my home, because I am pretty much homebound now, I couldn't find anything. So I had Joe, TBI survivor Martin, help me set up my first page.
Okay.
And that's when I set up my support page. And now I have 15 that I now am involved in, as well as doing private one-on-one support. And I traveled the whole world from the safety of my house all in one day.
Wow.
It's amazing what you can do when you put your heart and soul into it. Amazing things happen after a traumatic brain injury.
You're right. And I've had people tell me when I say, I'm glad it happened. I'm not glad in the sense that someone new to have a brain injury. In fact, I'm hurt when I see that someone has a brain injury. But the reason I can say I'm glad about mine, and I've accepted it totally, is that it's met me, I said it backwards, it's helped me meet people that I would have never met, that are some of the absolute most awesome people in the world. Brain injury survivors rock this world, whether we know it or not, whether you guys know it, you're awesome. I mean, it's beautiful.
If it wasn't for y'all and at Brain Injury Radio and Joe Martin's TBI survivors page, I would never even met another TBI survivor. And now it's like I'm traveling all over the world. I'm getting people asking me for help on their problems. And I'm like, whoa, this is just really unreal, because nobody wanted my opinion. Nobody wanted, when I came out of the hospital, nobody wanted to know what it was like to walk in my shoes. But guess what?
Yes.
Other people that have been, that are going, struggling through it themselves now, are looking for someone else who's already been there that kind of has an understanding, at least a little bit of an understanding, and can help.
So you're paving it forward for other people, so they don't have to live through the same tragedy you did, where it will be a triumph. It will be a winning game where people, we'll be able to look back at what you said tonight and what we've all said and hopefully learn something new that might say, wow, I'm really not alone as I thought when they listen to these recordings, maybe even years from now.
Having a brain injury is not something I would wish on anybody, and nobody ever should.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is this is a growing, huge team, and I'm sorry, we don't have any numbers on the front of us. It's just a whole get-together group fun game. And so the world better just watch out. Here we come.
I see, and I know what you're talking about. And through the power of the internet and the power of the people who are on this show, I know we're going to change the world. I feel it happening now. I mean, I've changed since I've been on here. Having my girlfriend Andrea on here tonight's been really cool because
yes,
I've sometimes feel bad because I'm on here so long and I don't get to talk to her as often. She's a precious girlfriend of mine, I would say, and she loves to help people. She loves to work with senior citizens and people with disabilities and things, and she's just a sweetheart about how she likes to help people. And so,
I actually noticed on the internet last night when I was looking, or last night or today, I can't remember which, and when I was looking at stuff for, I was looking up EFT for the tapping, which I actually tried today, and I actually saved, and I actually think it's wonderful. But anyway, I noticed there is a doctor who had a traumatic brain injury, and he actually, when he woke up, he now does everything he can to get the word out and start educating everybody about survivors.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that's good. Is that Eben Alexander, Dr. Alexander?
That may be. I don't know. It was just recently that I just saw this, and so I didn't look at when. I just saw it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that means that maybe the medical community is going to start getting on board and learning from these other doctors who are actually now survivors.
Yeah, I know. I think that's really good. The only thing that makes me mad about it is he did just come out with, it'll probably be a bestseller. He's already wealthy and already like a neurosurgeon. And so he writes a book. It's going to make a fortune. I'm glad it's going to raise the profile for all of us. But how many billions of people like me that have just been regular people, you know, that have written this book before?
I want to read your book, Kim.
Oh,
what?
Thanks. Guess what? Can I say that really quick? My audio book is coming out in the next couple of weeks. It's been available since it came out a year ago on paperback and all of the ebook formats, but the audio book is coming out in the next 2 weeks, and it'll be available on Amazon, like when you go to Amazon and look up in a flash, Miracles Here and Beyond, or my name, I guess. Only one book would come up. That should be fairly easy. It'll show that it's available on Amazon as a book, an e-book, a Kindle, and then audio will start showing up. But it'll also be on iTunes and something called Audible.com, which I understand is the largest seller of audio type books. It was weird because I didn't even really think of that market. I knew that I was going to have to cover the e-market when I wrote my book, just because so many people are doing that, reading their books that way now. I don't, but I knew that was a market that couldn't be overlooked. But I was shocked that in the last 12 months, at least once or twice a month, somebody says, is there an audio book, or when is the audio book coming out, or did you make an audio book? I'm like, geez Louise, what is up with this? And I realized what it is, though, is that I was afraid, that the e-readers were going to take away the brick-and-mortar stores, but I actually predict that the e-readers will probably even be shorter because everybody's multitasking and they're, you know, they're listening to books, driving around in the city or working out in their iPod or it's a huge market. It's not just for the blind, you know, for vision impaired people anymore. It's just for the ADD generation, you know. The audio is, I think if you're going to write a book, you might seriously just want to go audio pretty soon. You can save yourself a lot of money, but not yet. Not yet, but I think it's going to be going that direction.
Technology sure is changing the world. And like you said, not just for the disabled. I'll have a vision of a world where disabled and enabled, we're all disabled or enabled when they realize it. I didn't mean that like it sounded, but I can't wait till the day that comes where people with disabilities and people without disabilities can go to the same table everywhere. And I don't mean necessarily eating. I mean whether it's at a conference, whether it's at a meeting, whether it's someone who can't get up a curb cut because they don't have a proper way for a person to get up on a curb in a wheelchair.
North Augusta, they just did a playground for all kids, so they can play together.
Thank you for bringing that up, Andrea. Mm-hmm. We just saw that today. She was telling me about it. They did a nice playground that was designed for people with disabilities and without disabilities to play mm-hmm. together, and it was beautiful. It was a long article in the North Augusta Today or North Augusta something.
North
paper.
Augusta Today, yeah, that's okay. What it was.
And I believe you can look at it online. You probably can see it. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about working at an independent living center and the National Council on Independent Living and Rural Independent Living is we want inclusion for all, whether you have a disability or not. We want to be able to go to the same places. I mean, imagine if, say, a couple, one is a wheelchair user and the other has no disability and they want to go to a movie together and the movie theater has no disabled place to put the chair. They'd have to sit in a different location. We have found playhouses, community playhouses that are not accessible to people who just want to go out and see a play. I actually went with a large group one time that was going to one. And three of them had no place to sit or park their chairs, and they couldn't sit with the person they went with. They had to go elsewhere. And so we still have a long ways to go. And that's not just brain injury. That's all disabilities. And I've met people who have brain injuries that I thought were spinal cord injury survivors because of their one man who's a friend of mine, and it's not going to say his name because I haven't asked his permission, but he actually got angry with me when I first met him because I said, "Oh, I did not know you had a spinal cord injury." And he looked at me and said, "I don't, and I don't appreciate that." I said, "I'm sorry." He appeared to have a spinal cord injury, and he had a severe brain injury that affected his body just like a spinal cord injury. And someone had told me, and so I assumed that without asking him. And so there's a lot of disabilities that can appear to be something they're not. So I'm learning, I'm still learning, even though I've been involved in options for a long time. And one thing I would really love to see all of us do, you know, I was talking about being angry, one thing that would make us happy is for us all to go to something like the NICL conference I was talking about, the National Council on Independent Living. I tell you what, when you go there, you don't feel disabled. You feel empowered, enabled. You feel strong, and you get to meet people with disabilities you'll never say you've ever heard of before, and they'll want to be your friends. I made so many friends when I went the last time that I was just blown away. I didn't want to come home. It was hard coming home after going there. And that conference is coming up, I believe, this summer. Be nice for all of us on Brain Injury Radio to go there and have our presence there. It's something to think about.
Where?
I'm assuming it's in Washington.
Oh, that's what I thought. That'd be fun. That's where my husband is. he hasn't been there for a long time, but that's where my husband hails from.
Okay. When you go there, you will meet some of the most wonderful people, some of the most powerful people, down-to-earth people, too. When I was there for 3 days, I believe, and I was walking the streets of Washington, D.C., and just enjoying it, and there were people in power chairs. There were people with all kinds of assistive technology. We were just moving about. You never heard the word disability. I don't think I heard it once. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Everybody was just set up where, like, okay, you're just like us, no matter what. There were a lot of brain injury survivors there. I enjoyed hanging out. In fact, as the evening would go down, instead of me going up to my room, I would just hang out and talk with people because there were so many different people with different disabilities I'd never had the opportunity to meet with, that I wanted to use that time there the absolute most I possibly could, because I was learning things saying, my goodness, I don't feel alone in the world like I used to anymore. There are people here that not only have disabilities that make me ashamed to say I have a severe disability, because theirs was much more severe than mine, but they wanted to help me. I'm saying, my goodness, how can they help me? I can help them more. And, oh, I'll help you. What? How can I help you? And the world is full of people like that.
Yeah.
We're people like that.
Did you ever find the song you were looking for an hour ago?
I was downloading it, and I stopped looking at it because it did not say the right amount of time. The song was under two or three minutes long, and it never would download. And when I finally got it to, it said 5 minutes. I know that's not the right one.
Oh.
So I don't, it says a totally different name, everything. I don't know why it did that. I forgot to tell you that. That's why I didn't play any.
Oh, I was wondering, because you said you were going to keep scrolling until you were looking.
I completely forgot that. I'm going to try, since it should be completely downloaded, if it's right by now. Let me just see if it's there, because it's a different one I've never played. No, it still shows that it's processing. Something must be wrong with that file.
Yeah, something's wrong.
And it says 5 minutes and 36 seconds. I don't know what that is.
Huh. Interesting. So we're going to be having all kinds of trouble. Did you ever figure that? Well, anyway, I'll see you tomorrow when I go to... I actually did my show notes today, but I didn't post them yet. But when I go in the studio, did you hear, were you there when Matt was typing in the chat room the other night saying that, and I haven't talked to Craig, but he said that Craig apparently said it was okay to play older songs now?
Really?
I think we should ask him. He thought that Matt thought that Craig thought that I had maybe gotten bad information. It's interesting because now I've heard it from four completely unrelated people, but if Craig says we can do it, I'm the one that wanted to play music in the first place.
Me
so
too.
I were both
talking about it in the beginning.
Yeah, I'd be doing handsprings if that's the case. I just didn't want to be the one to torque the show by doing something questionable, you know? So.
Well, I like to play songs...
Because that would be so awesome.
It sure would. Well, I've got a song I'm going to play in a minute.
And it's relative, because I don't know what he considers old, so I guess we'll have to talk to Craig about it. But while we're at it, and then you play your song, that man that I was telling you about who's was a musician, I told you he went blind and his wife had the aneurysm and they quit treating her. He sent me these card things to go on iTunes and a permission slip today. Told me to go get the music for free with these passes he gave me, and I'm welcome to play any of them I want on the show. And I'd like to get a hold of him again and have him be a guest on our show. And, you know, I don't know what resources you might know of once, or that anybody, DJ, whoever, might know of that's a little more familiar with those kind of things than me, that, you know, for one thing, it'd be nice to, not nice, it would be whatever it would be to hear his story and about the horrible things that happen when you run out of insurance.
Exactly, you're right, yeah.
But if there's anything that can be done to help or a direction he could be pointed, that would be really nice. And it was very generous of him to give us permission to play his song. So I just got it in today's mail late. So tomorrow I'll look around and see what I can find in his songs, and hopefully we'll be having some songs of Dale's to play. I might quit looking and just be uploading old ones if what Matt was saying.
I would love to know that, boy.
Was true. I would too. But in the meantime, you know, some of these artists that have been willing to help us, I may not look for other ones, but the ones that I've talked to that'll be responding from the music store and like John Cruz and HTB,
yeah.
I'm going to keep them on the board just because I think it was nice. Like you said, people with a disability get dissed enough that when someone is really proud and happy to be able to help us, I want to honor that. So that's
exactly
cool.
I literally lost my thought as you ended your sentence.
Song you're going to play?
I believe I am in just a minute, but I remembered something I wanted to tell you related to that. If I'm correct, I'm not 100% certain. You might want to look it up. I remember it used to be, and this has been a couple of years since I've last looked at it at all, so I'd definitely look it up. But a patent on a song, I think, is 17 years, like from the date. Say that again.
I think copyright law ends after 20, and they
is it
even 20? If you renew it, once it's out, you can't take it back.
Okay. The only thing that I know of that they can get around it sometimes is like an artist does a greatest hits and recopyrights it somehow or something like that. I'm not any great person to tell this, but you ought to look it up and see just to be sure. But I'm going to play with songs. I like to play songs that nobody knows. So let's see if this is the one that says it is. Here goes. Here goes a song.
I can't.
Have you had enough?
That was good.
Perfect song that should speak to everybody, and it actually could be our theme song.
Did you know that is one of my theme songs for my life? At that song, I'm going to say his name again, Paul McCartney and Wings, 1977.
I thought that was who it was, but I wasn't sure. All I know is I heard the words, I've had enough, and I heard the song, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that is perfect.
Does that not fit in with how we're talking about being fed up with how people with traumatic brain injury feel? I've had enough. I've had enough of it.
Yeah, it certainly does.
I'm totally agree with y'all there. The ignorance, the lack of initiative on the part of anybody who hasn't walked a mile in our shoes, or even they don't even care to even try to understand a lot of them. I'm not saying Andrea or any of the people that are good about a loved one that's had a TBI, but there is so much ignorance and dismissal going on out there that it's time we stand up and say, I've had enough.
I can't take it anymore. Songs like that are songs that I used to have when I first had my brain injury. That album came out in 1977, and I hadn't even had my brain injury yet when that had come out, but when my father, with his illness that he had, and he'd get angry and yell and scream at me and then turn around and say, what's going on, like nothing happened, I said, oh, my God, I have enough of that. I've had enough of that. What am I going to do to get rid of my dad treating me that way? Help. And
well, along those lines, I don't know if anybody has noticed, but Matt Duffin today, he had a fun day. Instead of going to sleep, which he needed his rest, he spent the day watching videos.
Okay.
And was sharing with me left and right from YouTube. And they were right on cue. I mean, it was like hitting the nail on the front of your head, you know?
Yeah.
And I was staring them left and right on my score page because it was like, oh, my gosh, these are perfect. And I kept telling them, no sass, young man, go to sleep.
Good Lord, between him and DJ, I'm not sure how you would have got anything done.
Well, actually, I didn't even get to that stuff until about 5 o'clock because I was cyber jumping all over the world, including Florida.
God, you really did make it around. Well, you're doing a great job.
You are. I tell you what, you need to lift your finger right now and go and make sure it doesn't smoke or catch on fire, because it sounds like it's hot right now, pushing all those buttons on your keyboard.
Well, yesterday I actually had an early night, and I even let everybody know that I really I'm having pain. I have to go get some rest and have a good night's sleep and just let the body rest. And I did, because I found I was having spasms in my hands, my fingers.
Okay.
Problems between my shoulder blades going out, radiating out into my shoulders. So I absolutely was in so much pain.
Wow.
But I went to bed and I laid flat on my stomach and raised my arms up, which I wouldn't normally do at the computer. And then I got today and it was gone. And I was like, okay, it's back to work time. And it's not work. Patch it. It's an absolute
protect your finger.
Task and pay it forward.
Jeez.
Right.
Well, you got to pace yourself.
All over the country.
Well, I know yesterday Jennifer and I were kind of tit for tat in a sense, in a good way. We're sending different messages back and forth. She was just sending them out left and right, and I would post something, and she'd like it. I'd see, like another one. It was actually fun.
Do you guys have that on your telephone or something?
I was on the computer.
Oh, you were just on it. That's cool.
If you go to your homepage, or if you're on your Facebook timeline, you see a little globe up on the top, and it'll show numbers, and you can scroll down and see who of your friends is doing what, and you can just go right there and just click on their stuff.
Yeah.
I always look for anything that has to do with brain injury or has to do with my site or one of the sites that I'm attached to, because I go in and I answer questions on there or give support or just give thumbs up and cheers and congratulations or just like what somebody has said so they know that they have not been ignored.
God, you're kidding. I didn't know what that globe was for.
You see all those red numbers that show up?
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
If you click there, that tells you how many are there every time you click there, and you can scroll down, and it shows, in it goes to clear, like with no color, if you've already visited to that particular link that a friend has gone to that you're connected with, and it shows with a blue over it if it hasn't been looked at.
Okay.
Really? God,
and
I'm going to have so much.
I'm the newbie here. Come on, guys. I'm just kidding.
God, well, that's interesting. I'm going to have a lot to do. I guess I'll be up late tonight. I'm going to have to look at my little globey thing on the Facebook. I have to
when
look
you
up
say
these
globe,
little.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I think it's
you know,
up in the
okay.
left corner.
On the top left, if you look, you'll see like where have people that want to be ready, your friends. They'll have people, like two little people. And in the middle, it has people that are want to talk. There's a conversation. And to the right of it, it shows a globe, a world globe. And if you click on that, before you click on it, it'll have a huge number on it.
Get out. Yeah, mine should be really huge since I never knew what it was.
Well,
oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I clicked that. I'm sorry.
For Kim, if you scroll all the way down, it'll only let you go so far, and you have a choice of show older or show all. And if you click on all, it just shows up a whole white page that has link after link after link after link after link, and you can click on any of them.
And there's a ton. I'm looking at them. I see Jenny all over the place. I see Matt all over the place. I see several people I know.
Exactly. It is fun. It's a way that the whole world gets connected.
That's right. That's like me yesterday. I couldn't quit sending links. It's like I said, I must send links so people can see what's out there, and I just couldn't quit clicking them. And I looked back at my page because somebody called me. I had somebody call me and say, Les, your page is loaded down with brain injury information. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. And I said, is it? I haven't looked back at it, and I looked, and I said, oh, my goodness, I really am a brain injury nerd.
Well, I'm still learning because I was really upset on the show on Matt's show with Deborah Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was last night's show that I got on because I had to be there with Craig, of course. You know, he'd been traveling and stuff, and I really wanted to be there. But because I got excited on Deborah Barry's, I went straight to my link to log in instead of going through my home timeline, so it doesn't show up as a place that I've visited that somebody can actually see it.
Oh, okay.
And that really bothered me because I can like that or even make a comment there for anybody who sees my recent activity. But I wasn't. I got too excited or I was too late like last night. That I went in the wrong way, so I still have brain oopses too. So it's okay. This whole computer thing is even though I still have a lot of skills in it, even though I've lost a whole lot of other stuff, I still have problems with it too.
God, Jenny, you shouldn't have told me that because I looked at the one that looked like a computer. I got a poison pen note.
Oh no. Oh, you'll find all kinds of things. Just keep on going.
The globe thing says 152, but I had two friend requests, three friend requests, and five message thingies, and the first one is a poison pen message. Wait, I'm sorry.
Before you go any further, if they're friend requests.
I'm sorry.
Tell Petey you're on the radio now that Libby's got his voice in. Petey wants his voice in, too. Before you, also, for everybody that is a survivor, I want to tell you, this is very important. If somebody sends a friend request.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.